2 hours left. Coming up next hour, we'll have The Nation with Lincoln Kennedy, a full hour talk on the Raiders. So I hope you can listen to that. 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. We're talking a lot of football. We had Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com on. We talked with Ted Robinson, the outstanding voice of the 49ers. We'll talk Raiders in the final hour of the show. We're also talking about the unbelievable collapse that's going on by the San Francisco Giants as they lose again to the San Diego Padres, losing this afternoon, only scoring one run. Madison Bumgarner getting the loss. And the Dodgers need one more out, and then the Giants will be five games back of the Dodgers. All right, let's get to Dan. You're on with Grant Napier. Hi, Dan.
Hey, what's going on, Grant?
What's happening?
How much, man? You can play golf this weekend?
No, I've actually got a bad back. I'm heading to New York for the NBA broadcast meetings, and I will be traveling. I will not be golfing, but I wish I could.
Well, I'll tell you what, that plane ride in New York or Secaucus is not going to do good for your back.
No, it's all right. You know what? I'll survive, buddy, but you're right. I'm not looking forward to it.
I just want to get your take on the addition of Jordan Farmar, what you think about that for the Kings.
It just adds depth. I mean, you know, a couple of weeks ago, they had Darren Collison as point guards. Now they have Ty Lawson. Now they add a Jordan Farmar. It's just another body and a guy that can play, you know, point guard in the league. Dodgers, by the way, have one, so the Giants are five back. But you know what, Dan? Right. It's just another guy that has played point guard in the league, at times has played well, and just adds to the depth at the position.
All right. Thanks, Grant.
All right. Thank you. So when you look at the Kings roster, and again, it's not too early to start talking about the Kings because they play for real in terms of getting together as a team coming up 2 weeks from yesterday. So 13 days, and the Kings will be in training camp. And whereas it looked like point guard was be a real issue, we don't know about Ty Lawson in terms of what he'll be able to provide. I know what to expect from Darren Collison, but I don't know if he's going to be suspended or not, and if so, for how many games. Then you add another player in Jordan Farmar, an experienced point guard that knows how to play the game. And now, you know, you add the Aaron Aflalo, and you have Gary Temple, and you have Tolliver, and you bring in Matt Barnes to go along with, you know, DeMarcus Cousins with Rudy and Omri and Ben McLemore. And, you know, all of a sudden, okay, let's see Dave Yeager and how he puts this thing together. That's going to be the key, because now you have, you know, everyone on the roster is an NBA caliber player. And by that, I mean, if you have to start Garrett Temple, you're going to have no problems with that. If you have to start Omri Caspi, you're not going to be worried about that. If you have to start Ty Lawson, based on what we've seen, you wouldn't have a problem with that. My point is, you know, they got good depth now. Now, I don't know, you know, how Dave Yeager is going to work in terms of a rotation. I don't know how many players he likes to play in a perfect situation. You know, that's something we'll learn from the coach as we go through the month of October and preseason games. So if you want to talk some NBA, we can do that. If you want to talk NFL, college football, or Major League Baseball, that's what I'm here for at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Let's get to Brett. Hello, Brett.
Hey, how you doing, Grant?
What's happened?
I went to the game on Monday night because I got tickets about 6 months ago when I thought Jared was going to be playing. And
right.
If Fisher doesn't make it, I think a name you might want to bring in, maybe not the head coach, would be Jeff Tedford. He recruited Jared to Cal.
Yeah, I don't think that wouldn't go over very well down in L.A. And I'm not. This is no disrespect to Jeff Tedford, but that wouldn't be a big splash in L.A. I don't see that happening. I don't see the Kroenke. If they leave Jeff Fisher, I think they're going to hire an NFL guy. I really do.
I just think the offense is not geared towards Jared right now. If you look at Chip Kelly's offense, it's a no-huddle offense with quick passes. The offensive line for the Rams is not going to do it, and the receivers, frankly, I've watched all the preseason games. They can't catch either.
Okay, so if that's the case, all right, now wait a minute. Let me stop you there. If that's the case, then what difference does it make what type of offense they're playing?
Well, if you look at Gabbert, he gets rid of the ball very quickly. He can move around a little better than Jared can, but They need some receivers that can catch. I frankly thought the receivers Jared had last year at Cal are better than receivers he's got with the Rams.
Oh, you know what? Now, do you realize how stupid that is, Brett? Do you realize how stupid that is? Seriously, do you realize how absurd of a statement that is?
Did you see the preseason games for the Rams?
I actually saw two of their four preseason games. I saw their game against the Vikings, and I saw their first home game. But let me tell you something. If you think the receivers at Cal are better than the receivers on the Rams, you're delusional. You're delusional. Absolutely delusional. All right, let's get to Ahmad. What's up, Ahmad?
Hi, Grant.
Hi there.
I just had a question. What are your expectations of Ben McLemore this season? Every single season I've been watching him, and I've just been hoping maybe he breaks through.
I hope so, man.
He's getting into his fourth season now, and he's getting up there.
Well, he's getting up there in terms of how his future is going to go, because he's going to need a new contract at the end of this year. And so, you know, he's really playing for his livelihood in terms of getting, you know, money that he feels that he might be deserving. Here's what I can tell you about Ben McLemore. All right. Here are all the positives of Ben. Phenomenal hard worker, great guy, great teammate, very coachable. All right. Those are all the positives. All right. Here's another positive. Freakish athlete. All right, so that's all good.
Definitely.
All right, here's what has not been good for Ben. He's already gone through a number of coaches. All right, that's not been good for him. Number two, he's not the third or fourth option most of the nights. He's the fifth option, okay? Mm-hmm. And number three, he needs to get a better feel for the game, Ahmad. There are times when it doesn't look like he has a real good feel for the game. What he needs to do what he does best. Use his athleticism to his strength. Get to the basket. Draw some fouls. Go to the foul line. He's got to use his attributes to his advantage. And in my opinion, at times, he doesn't do that.
Yeah, it also seems like he forces the issue rather than letting the game come to him, which is what you're saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
I saw a few games last season where he looked good against Houston at when they were at the Rockets. He didn't look bad. He put up, I think, 26 points, and I was hoping
build
off of that.
Yeah. But Ahmad, you can't. But thank you. Ahmad, you just hit it right on the head. You can look at almost every player in the league, including a 12th man on most rosters, and you can point at one game and you can say, wow, he really played well in that game. Hey, you play 82 games in this league, Ahmad, and it's all about what are you going to do tomorrow night, and then what are you going to do the two nights after that? You know, you can't play two good games, three bad games, one bad game, two good games, two bad games. You know, it's about consistency, and that's his biggest issue. He needs to find that.
Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, you have a good afternoon. Thank you very much.
Bye.
All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Grant, thanks for taking my call. I was listening to you. I come from Redwood City to Concord, so I got plenty of time to listen. Hey, what's your take on Michigan this year? They've already moved up, what, three or four spots in the standing Michigan college football team.
Oh yeah, they're fourth in the AP. They're fourth in the AP. They're fifth on the coaches poll. They're right there. They're right on the doorstep.
I think Harbaugh's going to really do something this year, and I think he's got everybody on board.
Well, it comes down to the Ohio State game. I mean, that's really, and I can't count out Wisconsin either. You know, they are a team that you can't take lightly. I think Michigan State, they're playing Notre Dame this weekend. I'm going to be very interested to see what they do. But you know, I'm looking at this schedule. All right, Michigan State is good. Wisconsin is in the top 10. I mean, but it's going to come down to that Ohio State game. And, you know, the winner of that game probably is going to be playing in the Final Four in college football.
It looks like a real good college year this year, doesn't it?
Yes. The Big Ten has gotten a lot better the last couple of years. It's not just one team. You know, they've got a pretty well-balanced conference now. And it's not a cakewalk like it used to be. I mean, really, Iowa's good. Iowa is a top 15 team. Michigan State, a top 15 team. Wisconsin, a top 10 team. Ohio State, a top 10 team. I mean, the Big Ten conference now is good.
What do you think about Stanford?
I like Stanford. I mean, listen, Christian McCaffrey's one of the most, if not the most, dynamic players in college football. The problem with Stanford is they always have that bad loss, it seems like, every year. You know, it seems like they're rolling along, and maybe it's last year where they lose to Northwestern, or, you know, they lose at Utah, you know, 2 years ago, a team that they should not lose to. Or so, you know what I'm saying? To me, They always have that one game where you just scratch your head and go, God, how on earth did they lose that game? They're good. They've got a couple big tests coming up. You know, that's the Pac-12. You know, we'll see how they do against – what's that?
You think Christian McCaffrey might actually get some coverage? Because remember, they said in the Heisman voting, a lot of the East Coast don't see his game.
Yeah, that's the truth. It's unfortunate. That's the reality of the situation. A lot of people on the East Coast don't stay up to watch Christian McCaffrey, and that's a real shame. But I'm looking at Stanford right now. All right, they're good. There is no question about that. They are a good football team. But here's what I want to do. After they play USC this week, their next big test, in my opinion, and I don't think USC is that good, but they have to go to Washington at the end of this month. And I'm telling you, Washington is a pretty good team this year. They're ranked eighth in the country right now.
I heard you propping that Folsom prospect that they have.
Jake Browning. Jake Browning threw two games, 8 touchdowns, 1 interception, but they haven't really played anybody
incredible.
Yet. All right, then they got to play at Notre Dame on the 15th, okay? And then we look at the game and they're at Oregon this year. I think I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I think they play in Oregon the second week in November on the road. So those are their big games. But are they going to stumble against a UCLA? Are they going to stumble against a Colorado? Are they going to stumble in a game that you don't expect them to stumble? That's the issue I have with Stanford. It always seems they have that one stumbling game where you go, wow, how did they lose that game?
And if I'm not mistaken, isn't there a coach? Didn't he coach Boise State? Is that their Washington coach?
No. Boise State coach Chris Peterson is the coach at Washington, yes.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, they're good. They're very good. They are a team that is definitely on the rise. They're a very good team right now. Now, are they a Final Four team? I can't go that far yet, but I'm telling you this. Watch this. Jake Browning next year is going to be one of the Heisman favorites, and you're going to be watching him play on Sundays in the very near future.
I can't wait to see him play right now.
Yeah,
thanks
he's good.
Taking my call, Grant.
He's the real deal, buddy.
Thanks for taking my call.
It's my pleasure. You have a good one. Take care.
You too.
All right, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. You know, there are some players, even at an early age, that you can see play in high school, and you're like, okay, this guy's got special on him. And that is a guy that is special. Special. I'm thinking about some of the players that I've covered in high school football in this area where you just know. You go to a game, and you watch them play, and you go, okay. I'll never forget watching Jeff Query play for Oak Ridge High School, and I went to one game, and I was standing on the sideline. Matter of fact, I was with FP Santangelo, and I'm standing next to FP, and we were watching Jeff Query in that game, and we both just looked at each other and said, big time. And he ended up obviously going to BYU and then playing in the National Football League. And there are just certain players that you can see play, and you know that they're the real deal. That they're the real deal. And Jake Browning is the real deal. All right, 339-1140. 800-920-1140. Hey, I want to get your thoughts on Stanford. Do you think Stanford is going to be a top four team this year? Do you think Stanford's going to be a top four team? All right, now I just went over their schedule. I want to go over their schedule again because I think Stanford has a real chance here to be the team in the Pac-12 above all the other teams. I love Christian McCaffrey. He deserves all of the attention that he gets, all right? Now, when you look at Stanford, everyone wants to talk about Christian McCaffrey, but they've got more than just Christian McCaffrey, all right? They have more than just Christian McCaffrey. And when I look at the rankings, And I look at the big games coming up for Stanford. The one thing that concerns me a little bit are their road games. All right? They have USC this week. USC, as we saw on a primetime stage 2 weeks ago, melted against Alabama. All right? Then, the next big game for them after UCLA is at Washington. Now, let's just for argument's sake say that they get to the October 15th game undefeated, and they have to go to Notre Dame. Again, tough game, huge game, and then their next game where they would be playing a highly ranked team in all likelihood, and I'm projecting, I could be wrong, Oregon right now is not highly ranked, but they are ranked. And if they have a loss between now and then, they might not be. But I'm trying to look at the tough games they have coming up. At Notre Dame is a really tough game. We'll find out about Washington on the 30th when they play Stanford. I'm looking at Stanford. I'm looking at their roster, and I'm saying to myself, does Coach Shaw have a team that can get through everything in the Pac-12 and be that Final Four team? Is the Pac-12 good enough to win your schedule, go undefeated? Can you make it into the top four? Can you finish ahead of Florida State? Can you finish ahead of Alabama? Can you finish ahead of the Big Ten winner? You know, where does the Pac-12 fall in all of that? Let me know. I'd love to hear from you at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Do you think Stanford can make it all the way? Do you think Stanford is a team that when we're sitting here after the third week in November, that they are a team that's in the championship picture? I'd love to hear from you at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. And the reason why I say that is I don't think they're going to be able to win those games that I mentioned. I don't like their schedule. I don't like having to play at Notre Dame. I don't like having to play on the road at Oregon, even though they're better than Oregon. I think they're a better football team. What do you think? 339-1140, 800-920-1140. You know, somebody asked me about watching Austin Collie play. You know, I love watching Austin Collie play. You know, I saw him play three games in high school, and I'm like, okay, he's the real deal. And then he went on to Brigham Young, and then he went on and played in the pros. I mean, when I watched Jake Browning, I only saw him play one game in person his junior year, and you knew that he had a chance to be unbelievably special. You know, there are certain players that you watch, and I'm looking at them, and I'm like, okay, you know, was there a doubt in anyone's mind that Shaq Thompson was going to turn out to be a hell of a football player when he went to Washington and then was a first-round draft pick of the Carolina Panthers? Anyone ever doubt that Eric Armstead was not going to be a no doubt about? I mean, everyone knew at an early period in high school that barring injury, he was going to make it all the way, that he was going to go on the big stage. I mean, I've talked to Joe Davidson about this a number of times. And by the way, I know I'm leaving out others, and so forgive me. I can't sit here and list all the players that have played in this area that went on to the NFL. You know, Booker, who plays with Denver now, is another one. I mean, there are certain players that you look at in high school, like an Eric Armstead, and you're like, well, gee, there's no doubt about it. There, Jake Browning, no doubt about it. Booker, no doubt about it. You know, again, when I watched Austin Collie, I thought, wow, this kid is the real deal. And he started at BYU and then went on, you know, his mission trip. And, you know, by the time he got back into the NFL, he was more mature. We saw what he did in the NFL. And then he had some concussion injuries. He had one other bad injury. But, again, there's something that's special, you know, when you're able to look at players at that age. And when they're that much better than everyone else, they normally will thrive in the college scene. And then you watch them play on the big stage in the NFL, and it is a lot of fun. All right, let's get to Nico. Hello, Nico. How are you?
Hey, Grant. How you doing?
What's happening?
Hey, I just wanted to get your take on the 49ers. I'm a big 49ers fan, and, you know, watching the game, the other day compared to last year when, you know, we had the big Monday night game and we looked good. Do you think that Gabbert really is the leader for the 49ers, and how far do you think he could take us?
Well, I don't think, first of all, he's going to stay healthy if he plays the way he did on Monday night, taking all those hits. So I'm not ready to call him the leader of the 49ers, and I'm not also ready to anoint the Niners anything until I see them play that caliber of football against the Carolina or in Arizona, which are the next two games on their schedule. So I'm not ready to go there yet just because they beat the Rams 28-0. You make a great point. You talked about last year's big win against Minnesota, and then what happened after that, Nico? The 49ers really were terrible.
They're horrible.
Right.
Horrible.
So, and I'm not saying that they're going to be as bad this year as last year. I think your defense is clearly better. You know, I had Ted Robinson on at the beginning of the 4 o'clock hour, and we talked the improvement on the defensive line and the offensive line. But, Nico, you know, with that said, when I look at the 49ers, the one thing I don't like for them, I don't like their schedule. You know, they're on a short week. They have to go and play a very good Carolina team that lost on Thursday night, you know, to Denver. I got to believe Carolina's going to win this game. Then they're at Seattle. And, you know, Seattle didn't really look that good in their win against Miami. But then after that, you know, they have Dallas, and then they have Arizona. You know,
it's going to be a very telling story over the next 3 or 4 weeks.
Exactly.
And I got one more question
for you,
if you don't mind. Do you think that Carlos Hyde has a chance or an opportunity if he stays healthy to be a premier back in the league?
I don't know about premier back in the league, but he can be. And because when I think of premier back, I think of like Adrian Peterson's. You know, I don't think he's to that level, but I think he's on the next level. Absolutely.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Grant. Hope you have a good day.
Hey, Nico, good hearing from you. Thank you very much. Bye. All right. We'll take the time out and we'll race right back because we've got another 30 minutes and then we've got The Nation with Lincoln Kennedy. I'm very much looking forward to having the debut of that show tonight at 6 o'clock, but we'll be right back after this. Grant Ape here with you. 339-1140. That's 339-1140. 800-920-1140. Somebody says, correction, Grant, the 49ers play Seattle after they play Carolina. You mentioned they play Arizona. My bad. If I did, I apologize. They don't play Arizona until I believe it's the second week, and it's on a Thursday night. I think their first matchup with Arizona, if I'm not mistaken, is Thursday night. And so that is going to be a short week, to say the least. All right? That's going to be a quickie because you play Dallas. And again, every team does this. So, I mean, and then you have a home game against Arizona. Good news is that you've got 10 days off before you have to go to Buffalo. So we'll see what happens. If you want to call the show, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. I've been getting a real kick following Carmichael Dave on Twitter. As I don't know of anyone in the community that has been kept up to date on the progress of the Golden One Center and all of the naysayers that still to this day, with us being right on the eve, pretty much, of moving into the Golden One Center, are still talking about taxes, still talking about how it's not going to work, still talking about, you know, what a bad deal it is for the city, still talking about all the negativity, and yet we're ready to roll out the red carpet and walk in. And so if you don't follow Carmichael Dave on Twitter, you should, because I just love the way he responds. Actually, he's online with us right now. Dave, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, buddy?
You know, nothing ever changes with this. I mean, I've loved following your Twitter line throughout this afternoon. It's absolutely mind-boggling to me that through everything, there are still so many people that want to criticize what's going on in downtown Sacramento.
Well, that's because it's not about logic; it's about ego. And
yep.
I think you, me, and a lot of people that you know were involved in that whole process are kind of, you know, it's the off season, the arena's coming up. You don't want to jinx anything, so you sit back. But as we get close, and you can kind of taste it, you know, people are starting to talk about this again, and you get some of those old feelings, you know, like of the whole battle and everything. And there was a guy last week who put out an open letter. His name's Thomas Dodson. He put out an open letter to the city. It was on Facebook, and basically was like saying, hey guys, listen, prep ahead when you go downtown, be respectful, here's some ideas and guidelines for a lot of the suburbanites that are used to Natomas and not down. It was an awesome like 5-paragraph letter basically saying, hey, a lot of people are watching, let's do this right, Sacramento's on display. And the response to it was probably 80% great, but there was this 20% you started seeing these same people pop up that had the same issues and the same gripes and the same bitches. And I think there's a lot of people, rightfully so, that are probably more diplomatic than people like you and I, that are entertaining these thoughts and being, again, very diplomatic. But at some point, you know, at risk of sounding almost cocky, it's just like, shut up. Just guess what? It's happening.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. Get on board or get out. If you don't have the vision, if you didn't have the courage to take a step forward and take the chances, guess what? Read Dale Castle's article on the Bee today. The amount of jobs
amazing
that were promised,
yep,
it way beyond estimate. The contribution from Grant, you'll remember this. Remember something called pre-development costs?
Yep.
Remember the Maloofs were,
yep,
freaking out over $2.5 million.
That's right.
The Kings have almost doubled their original contribution that was promised to this thing. The city's contribution has been exactly the same, and people still want to bitch and whine.
It's unbelievable.
Because the city gave up the rights to parking spaces.
Unbelievable.
Nobody parked at because nobody went downtown.
No.
Shut up.
No, the parking garages were empty every night. And here's the other deal. In the deal, the Kings said that they would pay for any overage with the arena, and they've done that. The price has increased from what we thought it would be. It's not the city's deal. It's the Kings' deal, and they have owned up to every single thing that they agreed to.
Yeah, the bottom line, Grant, and you're so right, is I understand and I respect the people that were many of the people that were against the arena. They love Sacramento just as much as we do, and they just saw things a little bit differently. I really do respect them, and I respect the fact that they were trying to protect their city. But at some point, you have to say, listen, it's happened. The building is right in front of your face.
Yep.
If you truly care about the future of the city, and you're not just doing this because your fingers are in your ears and you're yelling la 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 la, then get on board and be a part of the progress. Maybe go to one of the businesses, one of the 50, 60 restaurants that are opening between now and January. Invite your family into town. Be a part of this progress. Otherwise, you know, you never want to say,
yep,
be a part of it or get out. But this is going to be an awfully rough city for you to live in if you're not embracing the amount of change that's going to happen over the next decade.
Hey, man, I got to tell you, you do a pretty good job of singing la, 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 la. I was very impressed by that, I got to tell you. What happened to my man, Dave?
Hey,
there he is.
Know,
yeah,
I'm here. Oh,
well,
because
you know what? I you could change it around to, another famous line. You're a fan of the San Francisco Giants, right?
Na-na-na-na,
we're sad to see you go. Na-na, you know what I mean?
Really?
I mean, how bad are the Giants right now, dude?
The Giants are, at this point, I know this is stupid and they shouldn't do this, but part of me is saying, you know what, screw it. Pull Bumgarner from the starting rotation, put him in the bullpen. you'd almost rather take your chances.
It's
horrific.
That's funny.
I've never seen this before. And listen, the Giants fans are spoiled and rightfully so. And I've been a fan since Chili Davis in 103 lost seasons.
Right.
I want them to win every year, but I've never seen anything like this. And you know what's funny, Grant? As long as the Giants still have a chip and a chair, even if they sneak in,
yeah,
to the wild card, it would just be so Giants-y for them to back their asses,
yep,
into the playoffs and then somehow make some noise.
I know. Well, that's what they did 2 years ago when they won the World Series. They started off by beating the Pirates in that one-game playoff. Madison Bumgarner threw a gem. The game was not close. And they went on and beat another wild-card team that year, the Kansas City Royals. So, hey, you know what? I because of this team's past and because of Bruce Bochy, I can never say never. But, Dave, it has been so ugly since the All-Star break, and it's the same issue game after game after game. How on earth can you get swept at home by a team as bad as the San Diego Padres? I mean, that's embarrassing.
I was watching last night for, you know, three-run,
yep,
lead going into the ninth, and it's and you get to the point where you're expecting them to blow it. I'll say this, and this is a horrible thing, I think, for a sports fan to say, but I'm always honest. I want the Giants to win the championship each and every year, but I'll tell you, if they, for some reason, the moment, if and when the Giants are eliminated from the playoffs, I am all in, hands, feet, toes, big giant nose that I have. I am all in for the Chicago Cubs. And as a sports fan, I have to acknowledge that if my Giants can't win it, that would be...
It would be unbelievable. Yeah.
Can you imagine if the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Chicago Cubs won titles in the same year?
I, 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 I don't even know how to comprehend that. I mean, it's because no, I can't. I just can't. Hey, I got something better for you. How about if it's the Cubs and the Indians in the World Series? When you look at what's happened to the Cavaliers and now the Indians, who have been just a doormat and they have not won in decades, can you imagine what that drama would be like?
I watch Cleveland a lot because Cleveland demographically is very similar to Sacramento, surprisingly. If you look it up, if you look at their metro-based populations, there are a lot of comparisons in market size between Cleveland and Sacramento.
Let me ask you real quickly. I'm going to interrupt you for a minute. On your plane to Wind Tour, did you drive through Cleveland?
Not only did we drive through Cleveland, we actually overnighted in Cleveland.
Oh, my gosh. All right. But you got to do me a favor. Don't ever say Cleveland and Sacramento in the same breath, okay? I know what you're getting at, but please don't ever say Cleveland and Sacramento in the same breath, because you're killing me there, all right?
I will tell you this, I remember tweeting this when I was in Cleveland on the tour, is that I felt like I was walking through a visual experience of a 1980s sitcom in Cleveland. I found the world's last payphone. And looking at the blighted parts of Cleveland, and then you know exactly where I'm going
yes.
now. Looking at what, you know, going from the mistake on the lake
yep.
to what Cleveland has tried to do in their downtown, and you look at what they've got this year now. They had the Republican National – screw politics. They had a national convention, and you and I both know that brings hundreds of millions of dollars
absolutely.
To your city.
Yep.
They have the Cavs winning the title. Stipe Miocic is the UFC heavyweight champion, and they could very well, like you said, have the Indians in the World Series. Cleveland's on top – you know, they're maybe not on top of the sports world, but, damn, they're very near it right now. It's like, what – you know, you look at these renaissances of downtowns, that's – I can't help but dream about something like that years down the road, having the Kings, God forbid, in the NBA Finals, having a convention here, NCAA.
Yep.
It's all
right.
Right there.
Absolutely. Hey, I just found out that I'm coming on this show called The Drive in the morning at 8:05. I just found that out. So you might want to, you know, get a little extra sleep tonight, because, you know, I'm going to be coming out strong tomorrow at 8:05.
You know, I said this to you privately. I have no problem saying this publicly as well. You and I both absolutely died, as everybody else, when we heard Kevin Harlan's call.
Oh, he's a classic. Yep.
And while I was watching it with my wife, and I turned to her and I said, I promise you, if Grant was on the national call for that football game, that is exactly what he would do in that situation. I think he could pull it off.
I wouldn't be as good as Kevin, but I would have done something crazy. But there's no way I could duplicate the greatness of Kevin Harlan, I can tell you that.
Hey, can you believe 6 weeks from tomorrow we're going to be sitting at Golden One Center?
No, I cannot. It gives me, honestly, it really does. It gives me chills. I was at lunch today with someone talking about the arena, and I talked to someone yesterday that was just in the arena 2 days ago, and he said, hey, I'm just telling you, you won't believe it when you walk in. And I'm like, wow, it's finally here. I just can't believe it.
See, I haven't been there since the last tour I took was like May or June.
Yeah, me too.
I don't want to go back.
I know. I'm right with you. I want to walk in when it's finished. You know, that's when I want to see it next.
Did you get your tux yet?
Well, it's a secret. We're not talking about that publicly on the radio. Come on, what's wrong with you?
I wasn't talking about for the arena. I just meant in general. Like, do you own a tux?
I do own a tux.
Okay.
All right. I'm Grant Napier. Do you think I don't own a tux? What's wrong with you?
Wow, you own your own tux? I don't own it. Really? You own your own tux? For real?
Own my own tux. Have you ever heard of Raja's Furnishings in Bangkok, Thailand?
No. Oh, it's Mount Noah.
Okay, they do a phenomenal job in making tuxedos. Scott Pollard and I got ours made there in beautiful Bangkok.
If I give you my measurements the next time you go over there.
Sure. I'll be happy to do that for you. It would be my pleasure. Yeah, I will get it. I will pick out the fabric, color, and everything.
Because here's the thing. Well, I don't know if I like that. Because here's the thing, though. Because I'll come up back be wearing a pink tuxedo. But here's the thing. Because the next time you go over there, I'm not even going to give you money for the tuxedo. Because the way you work, you're going to end up flying first class on Emirates and staying at the Four Seasons for $1.75.
Pretty much that's correct. All right. We're overdue, and you know what that means. It means I got to take a break and pay some bills. So I will talk to you and Katie and Nate tomorrow at 8:05. Be ready with some good questions, all right? I don't want to be wasting my mornings by coming on your show, so you better be ready to roll.
All right. Quid pro quo. I promise to be ready for you. You do me a favor. You enjoy that 6 o'clock update.
All right, bro. I'll see you later. That is Carmichael Dave. We'll be back with more right after this. Don't forget, The Nation with Lincoln Kennedy. Coming up in just a little bit, if you want to get in on the program, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Again, if you're just getting off work, Dodgers win, Giants lose. And so the two games that the Giants picked up with the Dodgers losing two games in Florida against the Miami Marlins, now they've given back two because they got swept at home by the San Diego Padres. So now when you look at the standings, the Dodgers lead the Giants by five games again. And when you look at the wild card race, the good news for San Francisco today is that while they were losing, the Mets lost and the Cardinals lost. All right? And now you got the Cardinals coming in for four games before you have to hit the road for three games against the Dodgers. Now, the matchups in this series beginning tomorrow, you've got Adam Wainwright and Johnny Cueto, so that figures to be a dandy. All right? Then in game two, you got Luke Weaver against Matt Moore. Then you look at the weekend, or excuse me, you look at Saturday and Sunday, Leak against Samardzija. And then on the finale on Sunday, you got Garcia and Suarez. And then you're in L.A. And guess what? Monday night, Madison Bumgarner against Clayton Kershaw. So here we are, folks, getting down to the nitty-gritty. And the Giants are hanging on by a thread. They are hanging on by a thread. The Mets, as I said, lose today, but they've been playing well. They've won 7 of 10. The Cardinals have been kind of, but they just had a series with the Cubs. The Cardinals are 5-5 in their last 10. They got blanked today by John Lester and the Cubbies. But, you know, the one thing about the Cardinals, and again, they lost 2 out of 3 to the Cubs. They've got, and they didn't play great against Milwaukee. I think they split that 4-game set. They seem to, they're like the Giants in a way. You know, they're better in the big games and the big series. So even though both teams come in somewhat struggling, no one's struggling like the Giants, I think this could be a heck of a series. And again, tomorrow, Wainwright, Cueto, then you have Weaver and Moore, Leak, Samardzija, Garcia, Suarez. All right, those are your matchups for the St. Louis Cardinals. And if you're a Giants fan, you know you're hanging on by a thread. You just got to, I know what you keep on saying. One of these days, they're going to turn it around. They're going to turn it around. They're going to turn it around. And we keep on waiting for that. We keep on waiting. If you're a Giants fan, you keep on waiting. But I'm looking, I mean, you look at that series coming up, it may not even mean a whole hell of a lot the way things are going. But you got Madison Bumgarner against Kershaw on Monday, Cueto and Hill on Tuesday. All right? So, fasten your seatbelts, folks. Also, fasten your seatbelts because we're going to debut The Nation. We're going to talk Raider football for an hour with Lincoln Kennedy. Looking forward to that. It's brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We've got you covered. That's coming up next right here on Sports 1140 KHTK.